What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the First Class Founders Podcast. The goal of this show is to equip you with powerful mental models and frameworks so that you can master the art of decision making. On each episode, I introduce and apply these concepts in real-world scenarios. My name is Yongsu Chung, and I'm the founder of Urban EDC, an e-commerce brand selling everyday carry gear, and GrowthJet, a climate-neutral certified third-party logistics company. For the past 7-plus years, I bootstrapped an 8-figure business from scratch, and now I'm ready to pull back the curtains and take you backstage with me to show you how I operate my own business. Today, we're diving headfirst into the concept of luck. First things first, what exactly is luck? Luck is commonly defined as success or failure brought on by chance rather than through one's own actions. In other words, luck is a matter of chance. It's the element of unpredictability in life, and it's something that we can't control. Or can we? Some people seem to be luckier than others. Is it possible to create your own luck? Let's go a step further. Is there a framework for creating your own luck? The answer is yes. And today, we're building your very own luck playbook. By the end of this episode, you will know what your next steps are to become a magnet for luck. Is this too good to be true? Let's dive right in. In NPR's How I Built This with Guy Raz, Guy asks each entrepreneur at the end of each show, how much of your success do you attribute to your skill, your intelligence, your hard work, and how much of it to luck? This may seem like a simple question to answer at first, but the question is rather complex. We'll revisit this very question later in the episode. For now, let's break down luck into four different categories: blind, serendipitous, expertise, and idiosyncratic. Let's start with blind luck first. Blind luck is how we typically define luck. It's winning the lottery. This is accidental luck. There's not much you can do to sway blind luck in your favor, since by its own very nature, it's entirely by chance. Next, we have serendipitous luck. This is the same as blind luck, but we're adding some movement into the equation. You generate a lot of energy. You stir things up. This increases the likelihood that you might get lucky. How so? Well, instead of relying on blind luck, you put yourself in a position that helps facilitate serendipitous interactions and force yourself to find luck. This is exactly why a lot of professionals decide to go back to business school and get their MBA. While the education is great, the serendipitous nature of the environment is a breeding ground for new friendships, new ideas, and new companies to emerge. You attend networking events and meet lots of different people within your industry. This is the same reason why parents want to send their kids to the best schools they can afford. They want to increase the luck surface area for their kids through their classroom environment. Their kids will meet other like-minded students, and the schools may have strong relationships with reputable universities. By putting luck into motion, you're increasing your chances of becoming lucky. Okay, now let's move on to expertise luck. This is where things start to get pretty interesting. With expertise luck, you may notice that something lucky might be happening where others may not notice them at all. You put in many years specializing and becoming an expert in a particular industry, and you're able to capitalize on that knowledge and eventually create your own luck because you can see trends emerging before anybody else. So let's do an example. Let's say you're a creator and you've specialized in one niche over several years. Now you're completely in tune with that community's pain points because you've been part of that community for several years and everybody knows you as the expert. Then let's say you create a new product and it really takes off. It's a huge hit and everybody loves it. This is expertise luck. You've put in the time within a specific area of interest and you're able to identify pain points in that community. Now the product that you created is taking off because you noticed a need and took action. Finally, we have idiosyncratic luck. This is the hardest kind of luck because you need to build a unique character, a unique brand, and a unique mindset. This is the most powerful type of luck because luck finds you, not the other way around. Sound too good to be true? Here's an example. Let's say you're the best deep sea diver in the world. You're known to take on deep sea dives nobody else will even dare attempt. Now, let's say somebody that you don't know finds a sunken treasure ship off the coast in a remote island by sheer luck. The sunken treasure ship is too deep for them to retrieve it. So, what do they do? Well, they're going to call you to get the treasure since you might be the only one in the world who could actually retrieve it. Their luck just became your luck because now you're going to help them dig up that treasure. Now, let's quickly review what happened here. First, somebody found a sunken treasure ship by blind luck. Then, they came to you to retrieve it. You created your own luck through your unique skill. You put yourself in a position to capitalize on that blind luck. As we move through the four different types of luck from blind to idiosyncratic, we're increasing the surface area for luck. So there is a way to increase your chances of becoming lucky as you work your way through these four types. Now that we've covered the fundamentals of luck, let's put it into a framework so that you can become a luck magnet. But before we get into that, if you're enjoying this episode on luck, please consider sharing this episode with a friend who might also be interested. Word of mouth referral is the single best way to grow the show to reach a larger audience. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Now let's get back to luck. Let's put everything we know about luck and create a framework to help you increase your luck surface area. To do this, let's quickly review the four types of luck: blind, serendipitous, expertise, and idiosyncratic. Blind luck is a game of chance with no rhyme or reason, so there isn't much we can do here to tip luck in our favor through blind luck. So let's skip over this one and move on to serendipitous luck. Now we can begin to build our luck framework. Serendipitous luck requires movement. So to translate this into the real world, this is your community or your location, the people that you want to hang out with, the place you want to live and meet the people you want to surround yourself with. You know the popular saying that you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with? This is it. So the first step in your luck playbook is to move to a location where you can meet like-minded people. If you're trying to break into the tech scene but you live on a farm in the middle of nowhere, your chances of serendipitous luck of landing a new tech job is pretty slim. Move to a city that already has a bustling tech community and insert yourself in it. That's how you can create serendipitous luck. You force luck onto you by being active and stirring up energy. Now, for whatever reason, if you're not able to move to a new city, the internet has made this step a lot easier. You can find your community online on different forums or places like Twitter where you can connect with pretty much anybody. I will say, however, that online communities aren't as strong as being involved physically in a community, but being online is a great option if you're just starting out. Now that you put luck into motion, you have increased your chances of serendipitous luck. By joining these communities, you might be invited to other events hosted by these communities or meet someone who is interested in starting a project or even a company with you. Okay, let's move on to the next step, which is expertise luck. We're going to keep building on your luck playbook. So now you have found your community and they've embraced you as a member within it. Great. Now the next step is to become an expert within that community in whichever topic you're deeply passionate about. This step may take many years. This is where you transform from being an apprentice to a master in your field. Once you become an expert, you'll be so in tune within that industry that you'll be able to see trends before they happen. You'll predict the next big wave of innovation and be able to ride that wave. You can start side projects and see if any of them gain traction. And perhaps one of these side projects really takes off and everybody will consider you lucky. But in reality, you've been working incredibly hard to master your craft over the years. In essence, you've created your own luck. Okay, now let's move on to idiosyncratic luck, the most desired type of luck. Once you become a master in your field, the next step is to become a thought leader within your community. What does this mean? You are the person others think of in the area that you've specialized in. You've become the authority figure in your field. People start to mention your name everywhere without you even knowing. Now you've made it to the top of your field. You no longer have to seek out the best opportunities. They will come find you. Strangers will come knocking on your door with new opportunities that you've never even heard of within your industry. Now, your reputation alone is opening up doors for you. In other words, luck is finding you. Congratulations, you've officially become a magnet for luck. Okay, let's do a real-world example from my own life that will highlight each step of this luck framework. But first, I want to tell you about the First Class Founders membership. In 1994, a man wearing a suit was sitting on a weathered dark green wooden bench in Central Park in New York City. It was a chilly, overcast day. Walking by, no one could tell that this man was facing one of the biggest decisions of his life. He had just turned 30 that year and recently promoted as the youngest senior vice president at one of the world's most prestigious financial institutions. His financial life was set, but he was itching for more. He had heard that this thing called the internet had grown 2,300% in 1 year. As he sat there pondering his future, he pictured his life 50 years out. He would be 80 years old by then. All of a sudden, he realized, looking back from his 80-year-old self, that he could not afford to let this opportunity go. He understood that if he didn't go, he would forever regret this exact decision. At this very moment, his decision became crystal clear. He quit the very next day, packed up all his belongings, and drove across the country to Seattle, Washington to embark on his dream. A year later, he launched a little online bookstore out of his garage and named it after the longest river in the world, Amazon. And the rest is history. This story demonstrates how Jeff Bezos used the regret minimization framework to reframe his dilemma and see through a different lens. By using this exact mental model, he made his life-changing decision and didn't look back. And this is why the First Class Founders membership exists. It gives you the tools, the key frameworks, and the support to make that same leap of faith that Jeff Bezos made back in 1994 before he started Amazon. To become a member, you can go to firstclassfounders.com/join. Now, let's apply this luck framework in the real world. I'll share my own personal story of how I created my own luck without even realizing it. In 2009, I graduated from college and moved to New York City to work on Wall Street as a trader at a hedge fund. While I enjoyed living in the city, I started getting the startup bug. At the time, the startup scene was a relatively small community based mostly in the Bay Area. In October 2011, I made the biggest decision of my life and quit my finance job. A week later, I flew across the country to California with just one suitcase. My parents thought I was crazy switching careers from a finance job in New York City with the economy just starting to recover from the Great Recession. Maybe I was a little crazy, but I wanted to break into the emerging startup scene in San Francisco, and New York City didn't have the community that I was looking for. After flying to California, I slept on an air mattress on the floor of my high school friend's small apartment in Berkeley while I looked for a new job and a new apartment at the same time. I got rejection after rejection for both jobs and apartments. I was starting to question my decision. But then, things started to turn around in my favor. I was able to land a job at a startup in the mobile advertising space and found myself a tiny 250 square feet apartment in North Beach, an Italian neighborhood in San Francisco. It took me 3 full months of searching full-time. Let's pause here real quick. So I moved from New York City to San Francisco to immerse myself into the middle of the startup scene and eventually land a job in tech. Does this sound familiar? This is serendipitous luck. Although I felt unlucky for the first 3 months, once I put things into motion, things quickly turned in my favor. Okay, now let's continue the story. I eventually ended up working at a cryptocurrency company. This was back in late 2013 when the space was still very early and not many people outside of tech knew much about crypto and its potential. Working here, I saw the exciting new opportunity in digital currencies and decided to invest a little into cryptocurrencies. Obviously, the cryptocurrency industry developed pretty quickly after that, so that ended up being a pretty successful investment for me. Now, this is expertise luck. Knowing the space well, I was fortunate enough to get in before it evolved into what it is today. All right, let's wrap up today's lesson. There are four types of luck: blind, serendipitous, expertise, and idiosyncratic. As you move through each type of luck, you're increasing your chances of becoming luckier. Contrary to popular belief, luck is something that can be created rather than something you simply wish for. Just like how you can compound money, you can also compound luck. If you follow this luck playbook, you can eventually reach a point where luck will find you. Pretty cool, right? Before we end, I'll leave you with one more thought. Let's go back to the question that Guy Raz poses to each entrepreneur on the popular show How I Built This by NPR. How much of your success do you attribute to your skill, your intelligence, your hard work, and how much of it to luck? The main issue with this question is that Guy doesn't define which type of luck he's talking about. One founder interprets luck as blind luck, while another might assume Guy is referring to serendipitous luck. In fact, it turns out that founders of billion-dollar businesses like Shopify, Bumble, and Slack all answered this exact same question differently. Shopify CEO Tobias Lucke answers this question by saying that his success was 90% luck. Lucke compares the timing of Shopify's launch to winning the lottery 5 times in a row. Bumble founder Whitney Wolf, on the other hand, says that she doesn't know if she'd call any of this luck. She went on further to say how her journey has been all day, every day, ups and downs, highs and lows, and laser focused. Slack CEO Stuart Butterfield says that while there has been an enormous amount of hard work by a lot of people, there is this real tailwind that makes all that stuff a lot easier. There's a real variance in how luck is defined by each entrepreneur being asked this question, which is why this question is so complex and difficult to answer. So now, you're equipped with the four different types of luck and how you can increase your luck surface area with your very own luck playbook. Okay, that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. On the next episode of First Class Founders, we're talking about hidden advantages of building an audience through a podcast. As you know, I just recently began my journey into podcasting through First Class Founders. I want to share with you my top 5 reasons why I believe podcasting is so underrated as a medium and why it's not too late to start now. If you're a new listener and you enjoy this episode, you can subscribe to the show by going to firstclassfounders.com. If you're a repeat listener and you enjoy the show, I would really appreciate a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can head over to firstclassfounders.com/review to leave us a 5-star review. I read every single review and it would mean the world to me. Thank you so much. If you want to connect with me, I would love to hear from you. You can follow me on Twitter at YongSuChung and let me know which episodes you liked in particular. You can find links to all my social accounts in the show notes. All right, I'll see you on the next episode of First Class Founders.